Now, the U.S. women's national soccer team was recently eliminated from the World Cup during a round of 16 match against Sweden. The U.S. lost during a penalty kick shootout after 120 minutes of play left them tied 0-0 with Sweden. It was the team's earliest ever exit from the World Cup. While many fans were disappointed, some conservative commentators celebrated the loss on social media and elsewhere. Here's talk show host Megyn Kelly.
Longtime team leader and activist Megan Rapinoe was smiling and laughing to herself after missing the crucial penalty kick. It was overall just an embarrassing performance for this team from the start. They donned the uniforms of the United States of America, but they refused to honor anything we stand for. And therefore, I'm thrilled they lost. Good. I'm glad you went down. You don't support America, I don't support you. And I know I'm not alone.
Other conservative figures shared the sentiment, including former President Trump, who taunted star forward Megan Rapinoe for missing her penalty kick and said, quote, woke equals failure. This isn't the first time U.S. women's soccer players have faced criticism for their political views and activism. And according to our guest today, it's part of a broader trend of women athletes facing extra scrutiny on and off the field. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you rooting for or against the U.S. women's soccer team? Did it have anything to do with their political and social views expressed by the team as a whole, by individual members? What do you think about athletes, current, former athletes, expressing themselves politically? Do you want to see more of it, less of it? Why? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Cheryl Cookie is a professor of American Studies and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Purdue University. She's the co-author of Serving Equality, Feminism, Media, and Women's Sports, and of No Slam Dunk, Gender, Sport, and the Unevenness of Social Change. Cheryl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Glad to be here.
First of all, Cheryl, can you talk about the kinds of social or political activism that we've seen from the U.S. Women's soccer community over the years that these conservative commentators are criticizing?
Yeah, I think I can't speak to exactly what the conservative commentators are directly focused on, although I have my own thoughts on that. But I think when we look at the women's soccer team, certainly over the last 4 or 5 years, but even going back as far as probably even then the early iterations of the World Cup team back in the 90s, the team itself has been focused on equal pay and equality in women's soccer, both at the national team level and sort of globally as well, right? And so I think when we look at the activism of these athletes, it really has, I think, most visibly been centered on equal pay and being treated equally, receiving comparable compensation, comparable travel, other kinds of resources that the men's national team receives. And certainly we can have a broader conversation about that. I think the other kind of piece of political activism by some members of the U.S. women's national team has really revolved around social justice, and in particular supporting the Black Lives Matter movement from a few years back. And I think we see that most visibly in the media with Megan Rapinoe as one of the kind of first athletes outside of women's basketball, men's basketball, and football to start joining Colin Kaepernick in his kneeling during the national anthem in response to a police brutality and other forms of social injustice faced by Black and brown communities.
Now, the quote I mentioned from former President Trump seemed to equate woke, as the word is used, with failure. Is there any sense that this team is any more politically or socially active than they were 4 years ago when they won the World Cup, 8 years ago when they won the World Cup? Can we say that there's any connection between their political and social activism and their success on the field?
I don't think there's any connection. I think that this is part of a larger conservative strategy to use women's sports as a cultural wedge. And I don't necessarily believe that conservative commentators, those who are kind of posting online are really invested one way or another in this particular issue outside of just a way to kind of mobilize a base. And certainly the language that's being used very much taps into kind of larger dynamics within kind of conservative political strategies around sort of demonizing any type of efforts or movements that address social inequality, particularly around race, around gender, around sexuality and sexual orientation. And so I think this is women's sports for me as a scholar who's been studying this for the last several decades, is really occupying a unique space within the culture of kind of being the center point for this kind of larger political strategy around again, mobilizing, base voters. And so what's striking to me, though, Rob, in all of this is the kind of ways in which the U.S. women's national team were celebrated in previous World Cups when they won. And certainly, as we mentioned at the top of the segment here, you know, they were very much involved in equal pay, equality, social justice kinds of issues at that time. And they were embraced by, I think, all Americans. I was actually doing some research looking at media coverage on sport news, televised highlight shows. And in fact, ESPN spent quite some time covering the final game of the women's tournament. And the graphics and the commentator itself was very much draped in a kind of, you know, USA patriotism, red, white, and blue graphics that sort of accompanied a lot of stories on different networks. The women were talked about as being, you know, kind of patriotic. And I think this is interesting and part of a larger trend in the research, which is that when women's sports are just kind of in the day-to-day, everyday coverage, we might not see them sort of make it in the headlines, you know, on the highlights and so on. But certainly when women, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the World Cup, whether it's sort of major Grand Slam tournaments, when women are participating in those major international competitions, the media coverage certainly spikes. And oftentimes it's really driven by a kind of national pride and kind of nationalism or nationalist sort of sentiment. And so this to me seems much, it's more distinct than the kind of previous ways that we've seen women's sports talked about, at least within this particular segment of kind of conservative media spaces.
Talking to Cheryl Cookey from Purdue University, author of No Slam Dunk, Gender, Sport, and the Unevenness of Social Change, talking about the U.S. women's soccer team, their exit from the World Cup, criticism, especially from conservatives over political and social stances taken by the team and by members of that team. You could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Cheryl, going back a long time, men and women's sports, I think sometimes we hear the idea, I go to sports, someone might say to not think about politics and difficult social issues, and people kind of concerned when those issues find their way into sports. This has been going on for decades, of course. What are your thoughts about that idea of keeping politics one way or another out of our sports?
I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that sports studies scholars and I've seen other sports journalists talk about this as well is the ways in which politics has been inherently a part of sports, since in some ways the kind of origins of modern sports in the United States. And we see that particularly during Olympic years, right? The kind of idea that athletes, American athletes, are representing the nation. The idea that sort of politics infuses sports, I think, really became very strikingly visible in the sort of post 9/11 moment, right? Where we saw a tremendous shift in terms of the sort of influx of a kind of patriotic and celebration of you know, the United States celebration of the military, right, become infused in the ways in which sports, and in particular men's football, baseball, and basketball, were kind of packaged and sold to consumers, right? So we start to see the national anthem being played consistently during games, people standing for the anthem, the large American flags that are draped across, you know, football, entire football fields, the kind of military appreciation nights. All of these things are sort of examples that scholars point to sort of talk about the ways that a particular kind of politics becomes infused in the ways that sports are presented, in the ways that sports are broadcast, in terms of how we're expected to show and demonstrate pride as fans, as players, as spectators. And so I think the idea or the notion that sports is somehow devoid of politics it is somewhat countered in that. And I'm thinking specifically around the report that came out, I think it was back in 2014, and this was a report that was published by Senators Jeff Flake and John McCain, who were looking into the ways in which government spending was being used to support these military appreciation events and the ways in which taxpayer money was being funneled into you know, the kind of patriotic displays that were happening in sporting events. And as a fan or as a viewer, you might be sitting at home and thinking like, oh, well, this is great. The NFL is celebrating our military. And in fact, what this was a very kind of concerted strategy, whereby, you know, taxpayer money was going to, support these events and essentially going into the pockets of these leagues. And so I think that when we look to those particular examples, again, particularly in the 9/11, post-9/11 moment, we see sports and we see politics and a particular kind of politics become very much infused in the sport landscape. The kind of politics that aren't welcome in sport, though, are the kind of politics where athletes are advocating for things like social justice, equality, addressing social issues around, you know, poverty in Black communities. If we go as far back to the 1968 Olympics and the Black Power protests by Tommy Smith and John Carlos, right? So, I hope that's enough evidence, sure, maybe to convince some viewers that really politics is kind of part and parcel of sports. And so when we say, I don't want politics in sports, I think we have to ask the question, well, which kind of politics are we talking about here?
Dr. Cheryl Cookie, professor at Purdue University, who studies the gender politics of sports, about the recent conservative political backlash against the U.S. women's national soccer team, who faced an early elimination from the World Cup last week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you following the team? Did you like when the team and its members took social and political stances? Did you dislike it? Did it not affect you one way or the other as you watched the games, followed them from afar? Do you think athletes should weigh in on politics and social issues? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk about the U.S. team's recent elimination from the World Cup and women athletes facing scrutiny for political activism. Our guest is Cheryl Cookie, professor of American Studies and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Purdue University, author of a couple books on related topics. You can join at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to the U.S. women's national team's loss at the World Cup? What other highlights from the tournament affected you? What do you think about the politics around all of this? Does it matter to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Susan is with us in Rhinelander. Susan, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just listening to the speaker today, and I was saying I had not heard that soundbite from Megyn Kelly, and hearing it, it really explains why I had seen such a backlash on social media against the team. I'm sure she wasn't alone. But that type of vitriol and that anger, I guess I would just ask, where does that stem from? You know, we all have differing opinions. That's the beauty of our country. We all have our First Amendment rights. And to put that kind of vitriol out there in the public space, where does that stem from? I don't get it, and I just think it's so detrimental.
Susan, thanks for the call. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, Susan, thank you for calling in. That's a great question. I ask myself that question as well. Certainly, you know, my colleagues in political science might be better suited to sort of think about the, you know, and talk about the ways that politics in the United States has become so polarizing. What really sort of strikes me about that soundbite, though, Susan, is, you know, it's, and I wrote it down, you know, they don't honor anything that we stand for. And to me, I step back and say, okay, well, what is the team standing for? The team stands for equal pay, paying men and women the same amount of money for doing the same type of job. The players, some of the players stand for equality in terms of giving the same human rights to people who are from marginalized communities, whether we're talking about Black and brown American citizens, whether we're talking about LGBTQ individuals, American citizens, whether we're talking about trans communities and trans American citizens. I mean, these are the kinds of issues that the team is advocating around and is engaged in activism around. And so to me, I think, how is that not about what we as Americans stand for? And so I think going back to a point I made earlier in the segment, I'm not sure if this is really about a kind of investment in women's sports by some of these conservative commentators. Again, I think this is part of a larger conservative strategy to mobilize the base and issues around women's sports. I mean, and particularly trans inclusion in sports is a real kind of hotbed issue right now. That has definitely been effective in from a kind of political strategical standpoint, right? In really rallying the base in ways that maybe other social issues are no longer as effective at. So, you know, Susan, I think that's a great question, and you know, I think it's unfortunate that we're in this this moment, and that the fact that, you know, these are athletes who are just trying to play the game that they love, and do what they've been, you know, working hard to do on this sort of elite international platform, and to come back to the United States and to have that kind of reception, I think is really somewhat discouraging. And the thing that I worry about is, like, what messages do young girls and young boys and young, you know, athletes of all kinds of genders, what kind of messages do they take away from that treatment of women athletes?
Thanks for that call, Susan. We'll go to Andrew now in Oconomowoc. Andrew, hi.
Well, hi. Yeah. So I have maybe a little bit of a question and a comment. I've been an athlete all my life, and especially over the years, it's more and more important to stay focused on my event. So I don't want to have to worry about if my teammates or I need to kneel or think of anything political. I just want to concentrate on that day's game and performance and do the best job I possibly can. And I got to ask, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think sports is a very good distraction for anybody watching them. They can escape the world. And when some of the athletes started making it political, then there was this outcry whether it's from conservatives or anybody. I think you're wrong when you say that it's a conservative issue versus a liberal issue.
Andrew, thanks for the call. We just have a minute or so left. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a conservative issue because we were specifically talking about the conservative backlash. I agree with you. As athletes, certainly you want to be focused on the game. And I think a great way of doing that would be for sports leagues and organizations to stop requiring the national anthem to be played before games. I think another really great way to remove politics from sports is for politicians who are running for the highest office in the country to stop commenting on what players are not doing. That would be another example or strategy. I think, though, the idea that, athletes can somehow disconnect themselves and their identities from who they are as athletes is maybe one that athletes from privileged backgrounds or identities might have an easier time doing. So how does an athlete who's queer, openly trans, sort of not think about these kind of larger issues, particularly when they're part of the contemporary cultural landscape?
Thanks for the call. Andrew and Cheryl, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Cheryl Cookie, Professor of American Studies and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Purdue University. We've been talking about the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team's early exit from the World Cup and the wave of conservative criticism it brought on related to players and the team's political and social viewpoints.